God's word is so wise and so deep and so true. God understands our hearts and our needs. He understands that we're made of clay. He understands that we can be very beaten up in this world. He understands that there is an enemy that wants to destroy us. And when I think about the armor of God, I'm reminded that God knows exactly what we need, and He cares deeply about us. We have been focusing on the armor of God for several weeks, and we have two more Sundays, especially about the armor of God. Today, I plan to speak about two pieces of the armor that I have not yet. And then next Sunday, I want to talk about the importance of prayer and the armor of God and what God tells us about tying them together with our faith and our prayers. The armor of God is from God. The designer of the armor of God is God, and He gives it to us as a gift. Every piece of the armor of God has a purpose. God knows what we're up against. He knows that the enemy will try to steal away our faith. He will try to discourage us and make us doubt Him, and He will try everything He can to cause us to reject and to not embrace the gift of salvation that He gives us. All the way down, He will try to destroy our souls, and He also will try to just keep us from being productive Christians. The armor of God is about living the Christian life victoriously, about living the life that God wants us to. Last Sunday, we talked about the shield of faith and how important your faith is in your relationship with God, how important it is that you nurture that faith and that you have a growing faith and that you don't rely on one point in your life where you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you kind of leave that there in an non-relationship, non-growing way, but understand that faith is something to be exercised and to be built, and God has a great purpose for that shield in your life, and it will help you if you use it the way that God wants you to. God wants you to put on the full armor of God, every piece of it, and every piece of it is important. How important that faith is, and also we looked at over the last few weeks the other pieces of the armor of God. We talked about the belt of truth and how important it is that we know truth. And we go back to truth. And truth informs everything we do. God's truth informs our decisions and our choices. We talked about the sword of the Spirit, the anchor, if you will, the offensive weapon that God gives us. If we don't know the word, then we cannot fight against the enemy. If we don't have our sword, if we don't know God's word, then we're so vulnerable when the enemy attacks us. And we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, doing what is right, putting into practice the truth from the belt, and putting into practice the truth of the sword of the Spirit. Every piece of the armor is connected. Every piece is important. This morning, I want to focus first on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. I'm going to ask you to stand again, and I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6. I've read this text every Sunday for four Sundays, but once again, will you listen to God's word about the importance, especially this morning, of the helmet of salvation and the shoes of the gospel of peace. Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, may you help us to put into practice this great picture that you give us of spiritual armor. God, may it be more to us than words on a page and an idea of a Roman soldier. God, help us to understand the connection and the linkage to who we are spiritually, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The helmet of salvation. Wow. When we think about how important salvation is, we think about that foundational description of our connection to a holy, infinite, wise, creative, powerful, loving, just God. Salvation. We must never forget about the importance of our salvation. We must never be far away from remembering and thinking about what salvation is. The helmet of the Roman soldier was that uppermost piece. The scripture says here in Ephesians chapter 6, take the helmet of salvation. That's an active word. Understand that your salvation has a purpose. It's not just a simple passing gift that God gives you, but he gives it to you with a whole lot of power in it. You remember in verse 10, we talked about be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In the dynamite power of God, take the helmet of salvation. Take it. Don't casually decide whether or not maybe it will go in your cart, but take it. Value it. The head of the warrior, if exposed, could, of course, receive blows from any direction that would take that warrior out of battle. Your salvation is like that. If you don't understand it, if you don't cherish it, if you don't value it, it's like not taking that helmet that God gives you. Your salvation is a great gift from God. I think we all would say, yes, I know that. Our salvation is not earned. We can't do enough good things to make up for the sin that separates us from God. The only hope we have is to receive this gift of salvation, and God gives it to us freely. He offers it to us. He doesn't force us to take it. He doesn't force us to wear it. He doesn't force us to take it up. But here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul reminds us, and he's writing to the church at Ephesus here, that every one of us who are believers must take the helmet of salvation. We must do something about that relationship with God. It is an active relationship. Our salvation is to be cherished. It's to be embraced. It's to be taken with us everywhere we go in life. It's to be taken with us when we interact with other thoughts and we interact with life. We go to work and we go to school and we go home. Wherever we're at, the helmet of salvation is to be with us and we're to be wearing it. We must believe that God is who he says he is. We must believe that he offers the gift and we must be willing to receive it. Salvation, I heard one person in my past say this about salvation. Salvation is the place of exchange with God. God exchanges something with us when we come to the point of believing in him and receiving that gift. See, God offers the gift, but we have to do something about it. We have to receive it. We have to open our hearts, our spirits, our souls, our spirituality to receive this incredible gift that God gives to us. We must believe. John chapter 5 records one of many places and times that Jesus talks about the importance of believing. But here in John, here in John chapter 5 are these words: whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life. Jesus says that we must believe in him. And when we do, God exchanges something for us. We give him our faith. We give him our belief. And then he gives us eternal life. He gives us the gift of salvation. He also gives us the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us. He gives us a certain illumination to understand him that will grow over time. He also gives us the helmet of salvation. We must believe. I mentioned in Kids Corner, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." We must open the door to Jesus and ask him to come in and be with us. Romans chapter 10 says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Long ago, somebody came up with the easy to remember expression: becoming a Christian is as easy as ABCs. The first word is admit. Admit that you're a sinner before God. Admit that you know that you cannot save yourself. And then believe the story of God. Understand what it means to be separated from God. And then believe what God says about it. God says that I have sent my son to die on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Becoming a Christian, this is oversimplified, but it is true. It is as simple, I say, four steps. First, to admit. Second is to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And number three is to confess your sins. I add to that as part of confession, and I know that was intended and part of that, the importance of repentance. Repentance means that I turn away from my separation from God. I turn away from sin. I turn away from the choice to say, I don't believe you. I'm not following you. Repentance is saying I'm turning around and I'm heading toward the door that Jesus is knocking at. Repent and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you have life in his name. So many scriptures tell us about that importance of that decision. I was so excited to hear 3 weeks ago, and I'll probably keep talking about you guys maybe for a while, but our 10 young people that joined the church last week, and every one of them, when we talked about salvation and membership class, talked about how important that step was. There's no other step that's more important than that first step of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to come into your heart. And every one of those 10 young people affirmed to me, yes, I've asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins and I'm going to walk the Christian life. There's no decision that's more important than that. Today, I just wonder if there might be some people here who have never taken that step and said, yes, I need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. When you do, when you admit, you believe, you confess, you repent, and you put that faith in God, God gives you a promise. He says that anyone who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, anyone who believeth in me will receive everlasting life. I want you to know today, if you're uncertain about that gift in your life, and that word salvation, you've heard it all your lives, and you've used it, and yet maybe it's just something about that you would say, I have not really taking that step, I want to invite you today to say, Jesus, I choose you, like these 10 young people have done. Jesus, I choose to ask you to come into my heart. I choose to receive that gift of salvation. How important that decision is. God offers you the gift, and it's up to you to take it and put it on. It's up to you to embrace the salvation that God gives to you. Salvation. What a precious gift. Salvation gives us confidence in the battle of life. Salvation gives us confidence as we go through life that we are right with God, that there's an eternal heavenly Father who's watching over us and who's guiding us. One of the great benefits of putting on that helmet of salvation is that you know what God is thinking about you. You know what God has said about you. You know, as you hear the word, as you hear that sword of the Spirit, what God says about life and about sin and about turning from it, you know what God says. And when you put on that helmet of salvation, you have confidence that you can live the life that God wants you to live. I want to say to you, one of the most important things you do with a helmet of salvation is you listen and you allow God to give you confidence in living the Christian life. You don't have to live afraid every day of what God believes and thinks about you. God tells us about salvation. And there is a lot of confusion about salvation out there. There are people that you and I have been around over time who, no matter how long they've been in the church, they're still struggling if whether they're really saved or not. Is God going to accept me when I take my breath and go into heaven? And I want to say to those that struggle in that area, and sometimes that's personality, sometimes it's prior teaching, sometimes it's from pain and experiences that have caused somebody to doubt everything about them. But I'll tell you what, if that's your problem, that's where the enemy will come after you. Put on the helmet of salvation. Hear what God says and embrace Him. Understand that God knows about that particular flaming arrow that the enemy has for you. That's the flaming arrow that certain people have. No matter how many times it seems like they read the word, they still wonder, will God forgive me for what I've done? I just want to say to you, the helmet of salvation is to give you confidence to live the Christian life as God wants you to, and not to live defeated. The helmet of salvation is God's gift. The helmet of salvation will help you to make good decisions. The helmet of salvation, when you put it on and you understand your salvation, it will help you to make good decisions about your life and your future and your priorities. You'll see things the way that God does. The helmet of salvation, when you understand it and you put that on, will help you to hear God's promises over and over again. It will help you to stand up in life's stress and struggles and persevere on through life, to have endurance, to have perseverance in order to stay on the road of the Christian. A couple of months ago, we watched Pilgrim's Progress on Sunday nights, three different versions of it over time. I love Pilgrim's Progress. It is so insightful, I believe, in so many ways, and one of them is about this, about the confidence we can have in not our salvation that we have done, but because of what God has done. He gives us that gift and says, put on that helmet, wear that helmet of salvation. When we are saved and we know it. Remember that song that many of you used to sing way back in Sunday school? If you're saved and you know it, say amen. You know, for such a simple song, there's a lot of truth about that. If you're saved and you know it, be thankful. When you're saved, you know that it's not you that did it. It's God that did it. And if God does it, He can do it right. We don't have to live in constant doubting in our salvation. We don't have to live in that place of constantly wondering, well, have I done something that has displeased God and so He's shutting me out? That's not who God's Spirit is. He is holy. He is just. He is loving. He will do what's right. He is a merciful God. He knows we've sinned. It's not that He's caught off guard by the sin in your life. It's not like God is, oh, I just can't believe what He did back there when He was, whatever, 24 years old. God doesn't stand up in heaven and say, oh, I just can't believe that they did that. Understand who God is in salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation, not in cockiness, but in confidence. You can stand up and say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have the helmet of salvation. It's not just for you that God gives you the helmet of salvation. He gives you the helmet of salvation that you'll have an influence in the world around you, that you'll draw people to salvation. It's not just that God wants you to walk around with your head in the air saying, look at my helmet. He wants your life to be full of joy and power in his mighty dynamo's power, so that you have influence in the world around you. If you walk around with your head down and, oh, I don't know, and God really, I don't know if God really can save me, I really don't know if God can take me to heaven, all that stuff, it defeats you. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the helmet of salvation. There is a battle place in the mind. For some people, that struggle is a tough place. I understand that. The mind can be a battleground spiritually, because there's an enemy who will try to plant doubts in your mind and your heart about who God is and who you are. The mind, the helmet of salvation protects the mind. It helps you to think right. It helps you to identify when the enemy is sending those arrows of doubt into you. The enemy knows what it is that's going to cause you to step back and say, oh, well. The mind, a place of battlefield. Especially it attacks our faith. For some people, it attacks their security. The helmet of salvation helps to keep that out. Put on the helmet of salvation. God gives you the knowledge you need to wear the helmet of salvation. He's not lacking in truth. He gives you what you need. When you're wearing your helmet, you're saying no to the enemy about his deceptions. Take the helmet of salvation. And then there are the shoes of the gospel of peace. The shoes of the gospel of peace. Of the six pieces of armor, this is the one to me that they're all deep and interesting, but understanding exactly what God is saying to us about the shoes of the gospel of peace to me is an ongoing process. One translation says, our translation this morning says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. There's several words in that one statement that are deep and important. And with your feet, I'm thinking, every believer needs to have the shoes of the gospel of peace. And it must be fitted for you. I probably can't wear, a few of you, we could wear the same size shoes. But the truth is, the gospel of peace, we have to have it individually tailored as it interacts with our heart and our spirit and our soul. And I look at the word there, readiness. Why readiness? What is it about spiritual warfare that Paul is trying to communicate and uses the word readiness here? With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I know that the gospel of peace is God's answer to a broken world. The gospel of peace is God's answer to sin. God's answer to the ugliness that we hate and we see and we struggle with and sometimes we get entangled with of our broken, hurting world. And we all have the question, why God? Why do you allow this? And some have felt like they've been able to answer that better than others. The reality is the gospel is God's response to the question of why. To the question of how is a holy and loving God allow the pain in this world? Somehow the gospel of peace is the powerful answer of God. And it's a part of the spiritual armor of every Christian to embrace that and feel that. When you understand the gospel of peace, it will help you to answer that question of why that brings the lingering doubts to your faith about what you believe and why about God and about a broken world. The gospel of peace. Interesting to me that in the gospel of peace, this part of the armor is the part of transportation. I think of understanding and embracing the gospel of peace means to embrace God's grace and mercy. To really understand that aspect of salvation, God's grace and God's mercy, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. And then on the other side, mercy, not giving us what we deserve in a broken and sinful world. Not giving us what our sins deserve. That's an incredible God. God says, you put that on. Put that onto your feet and take it everywhere you go. Understand that everywhere you go is that opportunity to carry the message. I read somewhere this week, the shoes of the gospel of peace are preparing us for the march through life. The march through messy lives. You know, the feet keep us from stepping on things and in things and protects us from the junk that we might walk through in life that we do. The messiness of people's lives. Without understanding God's grace and mercy, there would be really not much hope that we could offer to people. Without embracing the gospel of peace, we can't convince people out there of heart change. Only God's Spirit can do that. But when they understand the mercy and grace of God, there's something about that to the soul that draws them and attracts them to an amazing God who is merciful, who doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. God, when He gives us the shoes of the gospel of peace, is preparing us for life. They help us to take the gospel. You're not ready for the Christian life unless you are fitted and wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace. Without them, your armor is lacking terribly. You can just imagine what that would be like to go out into battle without any shoes on. There's a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, the shoes of the gospel of peace offer protection the same way that the belt of truth and the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness and the other items offer. The shoes offer protection. You know those arrows that may come in low underneath the shield? Those that bounce off someone around you? Wherever they come from, the shoes offer protection for the legs. Imagine if you take out the legs of a soldier, they can't continue to fight. They offer protections. Though subtle, maybe even under the surface arrows that you don't even realize got past the shield, but the enemy uses them to attack. Those shoes of the gospel of peace help to extinguish them. The shoes also help us to stand firm. Having the gospel of peace with God's grace and God's mercy helps us to stand firm in the battle. When you're under attack, when your faith is under attack, when you are hearing the doubting and the lies, Satan is the deceiver. The shoes help you to stand firm them. And in fact, part of what Paul says here is the importance of standing firm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if, but when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand. Then verse 14 says, stand firm then. Three times he talks about standing firm. The armor of God helps us to stand firm when life is attacking you. If you don't have the armor, you're like naked out there. If you're missing a piece of the armor and you've allowed that helmet of salvation or the sword of the Spirit for any piece of the armor, the belt of truth And you can't filter all the attacks that are coming at you. The shoes help you to stand firm. You probably heard that many Roman soldiers had small spikes attached to the bottom of their sandals or their boots or their shoes. And the reason they had those spikes attached to the bottom is so when they had to stand firm in battle, their feet didn't slip and slide around. They were able to stand firm when the enemy attacked. They were able to stand firm when they had to meet the charge of the enemy. Three times, Paul says, stand firm. The armor of God is to help you to stand firm. The shoes of the gospel of peace also help us with something else. They help us to go into hard places. I started to mention this a little bit ago. When we embrace the grace and the mercy of God and we take it to the world, we can go places with it that we would never otherwise have an opportunity to enter. I'm talking about into people's pain, into other cultures. It's amazing to me how Compassionate Ministries in our denomination has opened the doors to incredible evangelization of different people around the world. Compassionate Ministries, of all things, earthquake victims, flooding, hurricane. I mean, so many stories have come out of Compassionate Ministries. You know, we might think, well, that's good, but what we really need to do is get people saved. And I understand that, but I'll tell you what, it's when we take the truth of God to people in every part of who we are, then they respond to it. When we take God's love, when we take God's compassion, when we take God's grace, we take God's mercy, when we are the hands and feet of a loving God to hurting people, it will make an impact. The shoes of the gospel of peace will help you to go to places that you could not go before. It'll also motivate your heart to do so. When you have a fire inside of you about living out and going as God tells us to, God will help you to go to the hard places. It'll help you to tackle things that you thought you never could do. It'll help you to talk to somebody that you would otherwise not even have the heart for. It'll help you to be more patient with people's problems. It'll help you to have more compassion for people that have blown it and messed up their lives. Otherwise, you might just say, you know what, they don't deserve this. When you have the depth of God's grace and God's mercy in your heart and you have those shoes on, it will help to take you into hard places. You just might be willing to do things you've never thought you would. You might be willing to give up stuff that you always thought you wanted to hold on to. It might change how you think about what God's given you in your life. Hard places, into hopeless situations with the power of the gospel. The feet are the transportation, taking the gospel to the people around us. I think of all these six weapons and how precious they all are, but this is the only one that gets you to the battle. It's the only one that, you know, I said before that the sword is really the only offensive weapon, but it's the feet too are offensive weapons because it gets you to where you interact with the battle. It's your mobility spiritually. Paul gives us this great picture that helps us to imagine it as the soldier and his feet, and that just really helps us. But what he's talking about is spiritual mobility with God's gospel. To get out of our comfort zone, to step outside of the everyday average and say, God, how do you want to use me in this world that's broken? With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, are you ready? Journey readiness. That's what the shoes of the gospel of peace seem to say to me as I've been thinking about this week. Am I ready for the journey? Am I really ready to be what God wants me to be in a broken world? Am I ready to go? My shoes I think I usually put my shoes on last. Thinking of grandkids, you know, and some of you parents, when it's time to go somewhere, where are the shoes? If you got six kids, you find 13 shoes and none of them match, you know. How important it is to know where your shoes are and to put them on. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His dynamite power. Get your shoes on. We all have circles of influence. I say that to you. It's become I don't know how preachers have certain things they say a lot, and this is one of them, circles of influence. No matter who you are, there's a certain number of people that God puts before you, and you need to be wearing your shoes of the gospel of peace when you interact with them. Oh, His grace, His mercy. Circles of influence. God gives you potential and opportunity where you work, where you go to school, where you live, where you pray, where you interact with people. I use that term a lot. And here's another one I want to give to you this morning. Everywhere you go, leave your footprints for God. Leave your footprints for God. Wherever you go, you have a footprint. You can leave your footprint for God. Most of you know, many of you know, that our new district superintendent, now he's been here a year and a half, gave us all bracelets when he came here in June. If you were here, you might have gotten one. It's kind of, he always has these great things that he says, and you remember. One is, presence matters most. That's his moniker. That's his, presence matters most. That's good. The other one he says, no invisible people. I put it on today. I don't like to wear stuff on my wrist, but I put it on because I want to take it off right now. I want to give you one. Footprints for God in your circle of influence. God wants you to use this piece of armor for Him to make a difference. Two scriptures this morning, and then I'll be finished. Always be prepared to give an answer. Go on to that scripture, please. To everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared to give an answer. If you thought much about your answer, if you thought much about your influence, and that there are people around you who may not ask, but the way that you live and the way that you think and the way you talk and the way you deal with problems, maybe the way you deal with problem people, speaks a volume to them of what you believe about God's grace and mercy. It speaks a volume. Be prepared to give an answer. And the last one, simply, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. How God wants your feet and my feet to honor Him with how we live out that gospel of peace, that we have that influence for Him. Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the armor of God. I thank You for, God, what You say to me and how important every single piece is, God. How important it is that we see the value of that helmet of salvation. God, we make sure that we have that helmet, that we've received the gift. And Father, this morning, if there would be someone right now who would say, I've really not received the gift and I want to, that just now they would do that, that they would admit that they're a sinner, that they would believe and trust God that what He said is true, and that they would confess their sins and turn away from them and receive that gift of salvation. Thank You for our salvation. Thank you also, God, for the gift of the gospel of peace. May we see that it's something that we use in a broken and hurting world to honor you. Help us to live out the armor, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today.